Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S., and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, I am Bob Christopher, and welcome to Basic Gospel today. So glad you were with us on this edition. We would love to hear from you if you have a problem situation, a Bible verse that you would like to discuss, or maybe a current event. We would love to hear from you today. 844-322-2742 is the number. Again, 844-322-2742. Call right now. That's toll free in the United States and Canada. So take advantage of that. Let's talk about the grace of God. Let's talk about this forgiveness that we have in Christ. Let's talk about this new covenant that we've been talking about this week. And today I want to read a passage out of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 11. And we'll read several verses in this passage, but it's very beneficial, I think, to see the value of what Christ Jesus accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So the writer of Hebrews says this, "Now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron?" So Aaron was the first high priest. He was from the tribe of Levi, and every other priest that served under the Mosaic covenant was of that tribe, of the tribe of Levi. Now in verse 12 he says this, "For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests." So the Levitical priesthood is the one that served under the Mosaic covenant. But when Jesus came on the scene, he was from a different tribe, the tribe of Judah. Judah had received a blessing. We see that in the book of Genesis. I think it's 49:10. There's this blessing for Judah that talks about what is going to happen through him in the future. And we see that being accomplished in the person of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is now our high priest. So the high priest, the Levitical high priest that went into the Holy of Holies once a year and offered blood, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, and then put the blood on a scapegoat and sent that goat out into the wilderness to indicate or to show that their sins had been taken away. The only problem with that is he had to do it again the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year. But this priest offered himself once for all time, and he took away your sins, he took away my sins, and as a result, we have been made perfect in the sight of God, and we are able to draw near to God in perfect worship. That wasn't possible under the old covenant. That wasn't possible under that old priesthood, but it is possible now through Jesus Christ. So we thank God we have a new high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. Even though he wasn't out of the Levitical tribe, he was from the tribe of Judah, God called him to be our priest forever. Now, this becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. Now, the problem with the Levitical priesthood was death. They couldn't continue in office because they died, and they had to pass it on to the next generation and the next generation. But here we see that Christ serves eternally, forever, because of the power of an indestructible life. Now, that gives us a sense of assurance. That gives us confidence as far as our relationship with God the Father is concerned, because it's been mediated through the work of Jesus Christ. And since His is an indestructible life, we know that what He's accomplished can never be taken away, can never be lost. It only means that we have assurance of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this new covenant is so vitally important for us to understand, the fact that Jesus ushered in a brand new covenant through His death on the cross. His shed blood ratified this covenant. And in this covenant, we have this fabulous promise that God remembers our sins no more. And where these have been forgiven, and notice that past tense, these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. There's not going to be a continual offering like there was in the old covenant. Jesus Christ offered Himself one time for all sins forever. And He died, He was raised again, and now He's mediating this new covenant, which is made on better promises, on a better hope, and draws us near to the very heart of God so that we can worship Him in perfection, without fear of punishment, without the guilty stain on our consciences. That has all been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by our new high priest out of the tribe of Judah, who is a priest forever because of His indestructible life. Well, we want you to grow in this understanding of this new covenant. We want you to really take a deep dive in the Word of God and see how the writers of the Bible, the writers of the New Testament, particularly, talk about this new covenant and talk about the benefits that we have derived as a result of this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in and ratified at His death. And that's why we've produced this wonderful Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey. It's The New Covenant Journey. It's beautifully developed, and Greg, our engineer and all around do everything guy, put this together, and it is a study that I think you will benefit greatly from, that will really help you personally in your relationship with Christ Jesus. And if you're interested in teaching, it is a wonderful resource to teach in small group Bible studies and Sunday school classes, wherever you want to teach the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's available for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. So go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click on the donate button and follow all the instructions. And when you get to the end, be sure and request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome you to the program by dialing right now 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, we're going to go to our phone lines, and we're going to talk to Heather listening to us here in Texas. Hi, Heather. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well today. How about you?
I'm fairly well, considering the circumstances. I have a question for you on how to deal with something that I'm going through. I'm studying to get my bachelor's in science and nursing, and I am in a human cultural class, and I have been prompted to discuss religious oppression, and my prompt is that atheists seem to be the most persecuted group in the U.S., and then gives me questions to ponder. But I'm to put my faith and biases aside, and the slogan from Richard Dawkins that once said, we are all atheists, about 99% of gods which have ever existed. Some of us just go one God further. What is your opinion? And many atheists maintain they do not believe in God because there is no evidence God exists. What is your opinion? Now, I felt convicted not to deny my father in this post because this is a discussion board that is going to be seen by 70 different people from all over the country. And I am just wanted some confirmation, and I actually brought up the new covenant in this discussion, and I just wanted to see what your thoughts were about it.
Well, Heather, it really gets down to worldview, and atheists and scientists who claim to be atheists, they're basically saying that everything in the world can be explained through materialism, through what we see and can touch and feel and examine and observe. And so they have just written out any possibility of the supernatural, any possibility of a God. And Richard Dawkins would basically say there's no need for a God. We can explain everything through physics. We can explain everything through science. Well, that's just not the case. It's just not true. What I would encourage you to do, there is a wonderful debate between Richard Dawkins and a friend of the ministry named John Lennox. And John Lennox is a believer. He's a mathematics professor at Oxford, and he has a very winsome way in sharing the truth about the existence of God, and a very powerful way of debating atheists and bringing the discussion back to the truth that's contained in the Word of God. So I would encourage you to take a look at that. It is available on YouTube. I think it's called The God Debate. So it's Richard Dawkins and John Lennox. And John Lennox does a masterful job in debating Dawkins. And at the end of it, Dawkins actually knew that he had been beat in that debate. He knew that Lennox was much better prepared and brought his point of view to the table in a much clearer and more powerful and persuasive way. So I would encourage you to take a look at that. It lasts about an hour, hour and a half, but it is a wonderful, wonderful debate between those two. But Heather, don't back down. Don't back
I'm
down.
Not.
Yeah, don't back down from that debate. Keep throwing it out there. And I think it would be worthwhile to bring up the worldview issue. Like I said, they're operating from a worldview that excludes the supernatural, excludes any possibility of the miracle, and they're saying that everything can be explained through physics. Well, they can't explain it. Yeah, they can't explain everything through physics. They don't know how we got here. Physics is yet to offer an explanation of that. There's things that they've looked at and discovered and said, hey, we think this is how it came to be. And not only can they not explain the origins, but they have no answer for death. They have absolutely no answer for death. They don't know why we die, and they're trying desperately through physics, through science, to find a solution for death, but they're never going to do it. Why? Because it's beyond human capacity. It's beyond human intellect, and that's why the resurrection of Jesus Christ stands as the most important event that's ever happened in human history, because God answers and gives the solution to the problem of death through the resurrection of his son.
Well, good, because it's exactly what I said on my post, and I have to go back and respond to others. And so I'm hoping that I save many through this. So thank you for that. I also went to reasonstobelieve.org and found quite a bit of information that I was able to use too. So I'm glad that you gave me that information. I will definitely go look at that video.
Yeah, I think you will really enjoy it. We actually had Dr. Lennox on our program. We'll put you on hold and tell you how to get in, you know, get to see all of these different videos. He just does a masterful job. And so I encourage anybody that has these types of questions, to take a look at some of the material that Dr. Lennox has put forth. So let me put you on hold, Heather, and, we will get some information to you about how to listen to his broadcast with us. We also have a book that he wrote that we can put in your hands as well. Okay?
Amazing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. You stand firm. You stand firm in the truth that you know is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Heather. And keep us posted. We'd love to hear back from you.
I sure will. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you hang on. Well, what a great call. And Heather, thank you for being in that battle and standing firm, your courage, your bravery. Boy, the voices of atheists today, they are doing everything to discount the Word of God, to discount the gospel of Jesus Christ, to discount the fact that God even exists. You know, way back when mankind really didn't have explanations for things, they created gods. And there's this phrase called the God of the gap. So they would create a god to fill a gap as far as their understanding of things. Well, what atheists are saying is, hey, we don't need those gods anymore. We have an understanding. We have some knowledge through physics and science. But that doesn't discount the fact, the truth, that God does exist, that he spoke and the world came into being, and that he has provided eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we need to stand firm in this gospel message. And I think as more and more scientists actually follow the evidence and look at what science is actually telling them, they're going to come to the point that they actually believe that there is a creator, that there is somebody behind all that we see. And I think if they'll keep following that, they'll come to the point and they'll recognize that he has been revealed in the person of Christ Jesus. Well, we had this question that follows a similar line from William in Cleveland, Ohio.
There, my name is William in Cleveland, Ohio. But the question I have is from the Bible, if God created one race, one people, where'd all the different races that we have today come from? That is my question. I would like to know your answer. So thank you and God bless you.
Well, William, that is a great question. And I think we're confused in the world today about races. And I think the Word of God can clear that up for us. And as you said, if God created the human race from Adam and Eve, then where did all these races come from? Well, I think we have to back up and say, well, there aren't multiple races. There's simply one race. It's called the human race. And within the human race, there's a lot of diversity, a lot of variety. And it is a beautiful picture of the image of God through all of us. So in Acts chapter 17, I think Luke really gives an answer to this. And he says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. So here I think the Bible is very, very clear and basically telling us that there's simply one race. It's called the human race. There aren't multiple races. There are different skin colors. There are different ethnicities. But there is only one race, and it's the human race. And that human race was created in the likeness and the image of God. That human race is the pinnacle of God's creation, and that human race has the opportunity to experience eternal life and to know God and to reflect His character out in the world. Now, as we talked about, this human race has a lot of variety, a lot of diversity that exist, and that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the human race. But deep within each and every one of us, we're exactly the same. All of us come into this world sinners, dead spiritually. Something's not quite right. And we're all looking for answers. We're all looking for forgiveness of sins. We're all looking for that rightness with God. We're all asking the question, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? That is universal all humans, regardless of skin color, ethnicity, religious background, all of those sort of things. So we have to realize that. Now, as far as skin color, and that's what so many people really hone in on as far as the different races, that's just a product of the melanocytes in our bodies. All of us have exactly the same amount of these types of cells, and that's what makes melanin inside of us, and that that determines skin pigmentation. And human beings are adaptive to environments and those sort of things, and I think that is what has caused some of the diversity that we see. But let's be clear. Let's stick with what the Word of God has to say, and rest on the fact that there's simply one race. It's called the human race, and all of us as humans have the opportunity to know God, to be known by God, to experience His grace through faith, and have everlasting life because of His great love for us. Well, William, hope that helps. We certainly appreciate your call. Let's go quickly to Colorado and talk to Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hey, brothers. Good to see you, hear you guys. And thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. We're just about out of time.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. I just wanted to comment the woman who called in about people saying there's no God. And I would tell them, you know, and I talk to people like that too. I am a believer and follower of Christ. And I've learned over the years, if I don't have the information right, I say, well, look, let me get back with you. Or I say, well, would you be willing to go to this site? But also, there's enough evidence to show there is someone named Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
He healed people. He brought people from the dead. There's enough evidence and documents to back it up. But I've learned also, too, is people, it doesn't matter what they call themselves, they don't want to be accountable because God has certain standards. He knows what we need. He's better, you know, what we need for in our lives and stuff. He loves us, but His standards are higher than ours, and we don't want to be accountable. We want to live our life our ways with our version of accountability. But that's the thing, you know, we got to stand our ground and, you know, again, point to the person, let them know, say, hey, you know, this is what the Word says, but they have to be willing to want to hear truth and accept the truth, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Sean. And that's one of the things that I think that we as believers need to do more, and that is to actually use the Word of God in those conversations, because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can divide soul and spirit and expose the real needs of the human heart. So let's poke people with a sword and let the power of the Word of God do its work in those conversations. And Sean, thanks for jumping on with us. We certainly appreciate it. We've come to the end of this broadcast. Thank you so much for being a part of it. We'll be back tomorrow. Andrew Farley will be with us in studio. We'll look forward to that. We hope you will join us. So now for the entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.